Well, welcome to the next installment in our series in the Gospel of Luke. Today we'll be in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, Hear the Word of the Lord. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest, and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him, and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places, and pray. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. I'm going to tell you about a lady named Mary Read. Mary Read was an extraordinary woman. She was born in Lowell, Ohio in 1854. Initially, Mary had started her adult career as a teacher, but she in time felt the call of God to the mission field. When she was 30, she went to India, serving as an outreach, serving at an outreach to women. And while she was there for those 6 years, her health declined. She didn't do very well medically, and by the end, she became fairly certain that she had contracted leprosy. So what was she to do? She could try to hide it and continue on. She could go home and try to deal with it there. Well, I'll tell you what she did. She asked the mission agency to reassign her to serve the lepers in India. And so at the age of 38, she entered Chandang Asylum, where she lived and worked until her death in 1943. Amazingly, 4 years after moving to minister to the lepers in Chandang, Mary's leprosy was all but disappeared, despite no medical treatment. Eventually, it did return toward the end of her life. Yet while Mary is ministering to the lepers, she oversaw the purchase of nearly 50 acres of land. She replaced their huts with cottages, added a chapel, a school, a hospital, and a pharmacy. She even improved their water system. And she did all of this while supervising 6 village schools and 3 Sunday schools that operated nearby. As a leper herself, Mary dedicated her life to caring for lepers because she saw there was a desperate need. And that is where we come into our story today. Because here we have a leper in need and a Savior who cares for lepers. So first in the story, let us observe the one in need of cleansing. And we need to really grasp the living death of leprosy. Let's say you grew up in a small town. One day, someone notices that your skin is broken out in some kind of rash or discoloration. And in accordance with the law, you go to the priest, and who acts kind of like the local dermatologist. And he looks at it, and he determines that you have leprosy. And he's right. He's seen it before. It's clear cut. And so he has to quarantine you for a week. And at the end of the 7 days, he comes back and he looks at you. And while you fear the worst, there's still hope. I mean, the word leprosy, after all, covers a whole host of skin conditions, some of which are temporary and curable. But the priest comes back and he's horrified. It's gotten worse and it's spreading. And you have the bad kind of leprosy. And you dread what comes next. You've seen it happen before. The priest pronounces you unclean. You are now defiled. By law, you must now tear your clothes and always wear torn garments so that anyone who sees you can avoid you. And if they get near, you are required to cry out. You know, if they're just not paying attention, they get too close to you, you have to cry out by law, unclean, unclean, as a warning to stay away. Your family has to, for health reasons, take some of your recently worn clothes and burn them. You have to live outside of town now. You can't live in your home anymore. Maybe you can find a cave for shelter. Your family, in concern for you, designates a spot where they'll leave food for you. But you can't spend time with them. You can't hug them. You can't be with them. Your job is gone. Can't see your family. Leprosy has destroyed your life. But that's not even the end of it. Because you also know that soon people will begin to whisper, "What did he do? What sin did he commit?" And you know the shame, the social shame that will begin to creep into your family. Because not only did they just lose a husband, a son, a father, but now everyone assumes there's something wrong with them. Maybe they have it, or maybe the family's under divine judgment. That gives you a bit of a window into the life of the man who came and sought out Jesus in verse 12. Because the verse tells us that he was full of leprosy, as Luke, a doctor, would know. His leprosy was a severe case. He had the really bad kind of leprosy. And so he was an outcast. He was an outcast for medical necessity, not just because they wanted to be cruel to lepers. They didn't have any medicine. They didn't have a cure for it. But he was also a social outcast because it was assumed that he must have done something wrong. And as we look at this man who's full of leprosy, we must also see not only the living death of leprosy, but the living death of sin. Later on in this chapter, Jesus is going to heal a paralytic, a man whose legs don't work, and he's going to do so to specifically demonstrate that he has the authority to forgive sin. And when Jesus heals the paralytic, it is in connection with the fact that his sins are forgiven. And when Jesus heals this man, he not only removes his leprosy, he removes his ritual defilement. There is a spiritual aspect to the cleansing that Jesus brings. It's a cleansing not only of the body, but of the soul. And this is important because we have to remember that there is something more severe than even the diseases of the body. I mean, they're bad, they're terrible, they're painful. We don't take away from that. Yet, we must not ignore, for the sake of the body, the disease of the soul. Now, this man, so there's a difference here, too, between the disease of leprosy and the disease of, you know, what you call spiritual leprosy. Because this man could have contracted leprosy as a result of divine judgment. It's possible. There are examples of that in the Bible. But there's also those who contract leprosy simply because it's part of living in a fallen world. They didn't do anything wrong. They just came into contact with the wrong person. And we see, this concept elsewhere where Jesus, you know, is asked about the man he was born blind from birth and is asked, well, you know, did his mom sin? Did his dad sin? Which one sinned? It's assumed that his parents must have sinned in order for, you know, God to punish them by having their child born blind. But Jesus says, no, this man was, it was not the mom or the dad. Now, they certainly sinned. It's not like Jesus is saying they're sinless, but he's saying that this man's blindness was not a direct result of his parents' sin. And so, you know, he says, no, this man was born blind so the glory of the Messiah would be shown. And this is the key difference between physical leprosy and spiritual leprosy, because physical leprosy may come as a form of earthly judgment or because of the curse of the sin in the world. But we know that all mankind is born with a leprosy of the soul. Because we are born in sin, in iniquity, David says, we are conceived, born as children of wrath, as Paul says, who in our natural selves live as sons of disobedience. He summarizes this saying that while we are still alive, we are yet dead in our transgressions, standing condemned already before God, even while we live upon the earth. Sin is a living death. This is the living death of your life and mine. Our sinful heritage of guilt from Adam, our sinful natures that corrupt everything about us, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, and our sinful actions, which of themselves deserve punishment. We stand defiled before the living God. We might not think we do, but be careful with that, because the Bible records how the wealthy dress themselves in fancy clothes, but do not realize how they are spiritually poor, blind, and naked. Let us make sure that that is not us, that we've deluded ourselves and say, no, I'm not sick, I'm healthy, I'm fine. Because as 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, that we are liars, we're deceiving ourselves. Because every one of us has words that we have spoken, thoughts we have entertained, things that we have done that not only are sinful, but that we are ashamed of. Things that if everybody knew, we wouldn't be able to lift our eyes. We would just slink out of the room. So this story is not simply about a poor, desperately needy, sick man. This is a story about you and me. But it's also a story about the hope of lepers. Now let's think about this man who's full of leprosy. Think about what he has endured, the physical and psychological suffering he has gone through. But then think about what he does. First, he breaks all the rules and enters the city because he hears that Jesus is there. Right? He's not allowed to go into the city, yet he does. And he finds Jesus. And what does he do? He bows before, he humbles himself before Jesus, because he knows that his only hope is in Jesus. And then he says to Jesus, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now first, there are two things to note here. First, note that he doesn't just want to be healed of his leprosy, he wants cleansing. It's a different thing. And secondly, notice that he doesn't doubt for a second that Jesus can heal him. His only question is Jesus willing to heal him? Now, maybe the man did have serious sin in his life that brought this temporal judgment of leprosy upon him. We don't know. Or perhaps he didn't. Maybe he just, came into contact with the wrong person. Perhaps the social stigma of being a leper has gotten into his very identity, that he wondered if Jesus might not just back away from him and tell him to leave. In either case, this man is willing to risk everything to get to the one who can heal him. And when we think about the leper, he's not, as it turns out, some just sad, helpless man that we should be, pitying. As one writer said, he's actually a schoolmaster teaching us what it means to have faith. Because there are a lot of people who will say, "I might come to Jesus, but I'm not going to bow before him." Or at least that's what their attitude is. There are many people who, because they have such comfort and success in life, cannot see that their only hope is in Jesus. But we need to see that the only thing that is going to heal the corruption and the wounds of our souls is Jesus. He is the only hope of lepers. And so we need to observe the one who needs cleansing, because in him we see ourselves and our own need. And once we have done that, we can then marvel at the one who cleanses. And there's three aspects to this. First, marvel at Jesus' compassionate and powerful will. Here is this man bowed down before Jesus, having just blurted out the thing that he had rehearsed. He must have practiced it 1,000 times, wondering now if Jesus was willing to heal him, not daring to lift his eyes. And then suddenly he feels a hand on his shoulder. He looks up and sees Jesus has reached forward and touched him. He's forgotten what it felt like to be touched. This man hadn't known human touch, an embrace, a kiss, or even a touch on the shoulder. Not for years. And now, by all accounts, Jesus himself, he ought to be ritually defiled. He just touched a leper. But he looks into the man's eyes and says, "I will be clean." And at the word of Jesus, his leprosy leaves him. His defilement in a moment is gone. His shame is removed. What power is displayed in the will and word of Jesus? Rabbis like to say of the time that cleansing a leper was as difficult as raising someone from the dead. And Jesus does it with a word. Because when Jesus touches lepers, he doesn't become defiled. They become clean. When Jesus says he is willing to cleanse, and immediately one becomes clean. And so from this, and from what follows, we also learn about Jesus' purpose. Also, and we marvel at this, because Jesus tells the man to go and present himself to the priest in accordance with the law. This can be found in Leviticus 14. We see here first Jesus' concern for the full restoration of the man. Once he got certified by the priest that he was indeed clean, he would be able to rejoin society. We also see it as part of Jesus' concern to fulfill the law. Most importantly, what is done here is a testimony that Jesus is the Messiah. And this Messiah bears a message. Jesus can cleanse you too. Because this is a message to every one of us who would confess that we stand defiled by sin before God. There are things that we have done. There are things that have been done to us that bring a crippling sense of shame. They carry a sense of moral defilement. These are things of which we might say, you know, God couldn't want me. I'm too sinful, I'm too damaged, I'm too broken. There is no cleansing for me. But Jesus' purpose was not to come for the self-righteous. He has come to touch, heal, and cleanse the lepers. He has come to make the dead alive. The story of the leper is meant to communicate the truth of grace as experienced by the Apostle Paul, the man who referred to himself as the lowest of disciples and the chief of sinners, a murderer and a blasphemer, that if God had saved him by grace in Jesus, he can save you too. Now perhaps you're a Christian listening to this. You follow Jesus, but now you find yourself in a mess of sin that you're ashamed of. Jesus knows this. And you need to know that he didn't just wipe the slate clean to give you a second chance or a third chance to get it right, because we would all blow those. It wouldn't work. Rather, he took our leprosy upon himself, and he gave us his cleanness. He crucified our leprosy, and he was raised from the dead. And he continues to be our advocate before the Father, cleansing us of sin even daily as we come to him. Every time he says to us, I will be clean. Come to him today, and he will tell you, I will cleanse you. Be clean. Before we leave this passage, we need to see the very end there. Jesus' priority of prayer. The people, of course, hear about what Jesus has done, and great crowds begin to seek Jesus out to both hear what he has to say and to be healed of their infirmities. That's what Luke tells us. And Jesus certainly preaches and heals throughout his ministry. But Luke highlights that Jesus would withdraw from the crowds and seek desolate places to pray. He did not fall into the trap that many successful people do. You know, if you have this musician who starts out playing music for the music because he loves to play and he loves to write and sing. And then he gets a big break and suddenly the crowds of people start coming to him. Money comes in, fame increases, and in time the musician stops playing for the music and begins to play for the crowds. And that's all he begins to live for. And it destroys him. Jesus is not a fool. He has not come to place his trust in crowds, and fickle crowds at that. He has not come to place his trust in the reputation that he has among men. As his influence grows, he increasingly pulls away in order to pray. We would do well to remember his example. That as our life fills up with many things, with people, successes, responsibilities, it is necessary for us to pull away and pray. In this story, we are reminded that by ourselves we are trapped in the living death of sin. And our only hope is Jesus as we come to Him in humility and trust. And so come to Him today. Come to Him now, for He is willing to say to you, no matter where you're at, be clean, be forgiven, be my disciple. And as we follow Him, let us draw near to the Lord in prayer, just as He did. And let us also follow the example of Mary Read, that once we discover that we are lepers, let us go to other spiritual lepers and tell them where we have found our cleansing, that the one who cleanses is willing to make us clean. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy and goodness that digs deep into our souls and reaches to the areas where we are the most ashamed of. And Father, we thank You that You cleanse us from the sins that we have committed. You cleanse us from even the shame that we feel from sins that have been committed against us. And You call us Your children, heirs of eternal life in the kingdom of God. Lord, may we rejoice like lepers who have been healed. May we have faith like lepers who have no other hope other than Jesus Christ. And may we share the gospel and proclaim the goodness of Jesus like lepers who have been healed and cleansed. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.